Hello, and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that you won't find doing the burpee challenge anytime soon.
Never.
I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and I currently am still in my gym kit from this morning.
I'm George from Fuller Figure, Fuller Bust, and I'm trying not to feel guilty that I'm actually in my pyjamas, having not gone to the gym. I'm trying to remind myself that rest days are important. Trying to make our guest this week very proud of me, hopefully.
And you might notice that Hayley's not here this week, but don't worry, she will certainly be back. And you don't have to fear. Me and George have been kept on a very tight rein, and we are following all of her guidelines, as always.
I'm quite into it, Hayley.
And this week, just a little bit of a content warning before we start, because we're going to be talking about diet and exercise. So if you find this topic too much, that's fine. Skip this week and we will see you next Tuesday instead. But today, we've got a really exciting guest for you in the form of Dominic Geary, aka the Anti-Fitness Project. Now, if you love today's episode, which we think you will, then make sure to carry on that conversation and head over to our Fat Chat community on Facebook and we can discuss it more. Dom is one of our amazing admins on there. So yeah, jump into the comments and let's keep the conversation going over there.
So what is the Anti-Fitness Project? Well, it is the place you go to when you are ready to break up with the weight loss industry. They specialize in online training and education, and they are totally determined to take down toxic diet culture and fitness culture for good.
Yay!
Yes. Dom, revolution! Yes! Viva la revolution!
Yeah, hey guys, I'm so excited.
Hey, we're excited.
So Dom, tell us a bit about yourself.
I am, at the moment, the anti-fitness trainer, but I did used to be an actual proper personal trainer, so I do know what I'm talking about, really. So I got my personal trainer qualifications when I was 18 at the local sports centre, because that's where, like, all people my age went to work. We all went and, you know, were lifeguards and cleaners and sports coaches, and they were like, do you want a gym qualification for free? And I was like, yes. So yeah, they got me qualified, and turned out I really, really liked the job and I was really good at it as well. So then I went to uni to learn how to be a surfing instructor, which was cool. And then I realised that it was too cold to do that all year round. So I came back and carried on with personal training.
Amazing.
And then sort of, when did things change from sort of being that traditional PT to kind of how you are now, with sort of taking down the diet industry and like more focusing on fitness, strength, stamina than weight loss?
Well, it is actually when I, because I did like the normal PT route, you get to be a really good PT and then you leave the company that you're with and go and open your own gym. So I did that.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I, yeah, so I owned a gym for 6 years.
Wow.
And because then I could obviously do exactly what I wanted to do in the gym, I just became more and more detached from the actual fitness industry. And it was really funny because the gym let kids in from the age of 5. All the kit was like specifically designed to be used for kids. So it was all smaller and easier to use. And so you'd sell memberships on this premise to the parents that, you know, your kids can use a gym and be all fit and healthy. And after about 5 days of the kids using the equipment, the excitement completely, you know, disappeared. And they just ended up kicking footballs around the gym and playing dodgeball. And the parents spent so long saying, could you please make sure that my kids stop running around and start exercising? And that made me think, oh my God, they are exercising. Why do we think that we have to do it in the gym? And then that sent a whole ball rolling of, yeah, brand new ideas of maybe the fitness industry is kind of a little bit bullshit.
So what are we taught is wrong, in inverted commas, with being fat? What kind of facts are we force-fed about weight and fatness, would you say?
So obviously the main big one is that being fat is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. The whole weight loss industry, in fact, I've written this down because somebody said this to me the other day and I was like, oh my God, you're right. That the whole of the weight loss industry and the fitness industry is based on data manipulation. I read it and I was like, oh my God, you're like Jesus, that's awesome.
You're like Jesus, you nailed it.
Yeah.
<Ba-dum-bum>. Nice.
Yeah, you can look at the studies about disease and illness and, again, inverted commas, obesity-related diseases. And actually, the studies that have been done on them, you can read into them however you want to. You can also read into them that being poor will give you the diseases, or being black will give you the diseases, or you can read into anything that you want, or eating too many Maccadees, or eating too many apples. If you're a very good statistician, you can make any study read in any way that you've wanted, but it's just suited a certain amount of people to read it in the way that being fat is unhealthy. But we're also taught to believe that it's completely our fault. So not only are we unhealthy, but it's our fault that we're unhealthy. So because of that, we're bad citizens, because we're clearly taking up more of the NHS than we deserve to and than everybody else is. We're taking up more resources than everybody else. And it's just not true.
It's so right. And hearing someone say that, you're like, oh shit, yeah, that's true. And then what are we generally taught about fitness and nutrition and the kind of links between those?
So obviously the main thing that the weight loss industry teaches us is that it's as easy as eat less, move more. That's the main thing that we're taught. And we know that this just isn't true at all. I mean, how many people do you guys know that have done the eat less, move more thing and it's been sustainable for the rest of their life? There's very few people. We're also taught that if you're fat, you're unhealthy. If you're thin, then you're immediately healthy. And again, we know that that's just not true. I come from a place of fitness, and the main thing that I've got a huge issue with is that we're taught that exercise is the best way to move our bodies, and it's the only way to fit in that move more bit of the equation. And that's just not the case at all. It's a nice way to sell gym memberships, but it's not true.
I once saw a really great thing on Twitter that was we believe that people can have fast metabolisms and eat what they want and stay thin. Why do we struggle so much with believing that the opposite exists as well? Because exactly. We just so align thinness with happiness, desirability, health, fit. Like you say, like just all of it is aligned, but like it's not always true, as we know, and we need to believe that the complete opposite exists, and then every single like variation along the way as well. Yeah,
exactly. And in the bit about being thin will make you happy, I think, and you know, your all of your dreams will come true when that happens. And I know from personal experience that that's just not the case at all. The only thing that will make you happy is if you learn how to be happy. That's it. It doesn't come from what your body looks like. It comes from how you choose to live your life.
Which unfortunately does not sell as well, as we
know. I know, it's
you
such
can't
a
get
shame.
Quite a good slogan out of that, I don't think. I'm trying to think of one. There's no good slogan. Yeah.
Turns out I'd be much richer woman if I could, just sell people diet programs.
Oh, definitely. It's scary, isn't it? Is this why industries are invested in telling us these stories? Is that why? Is that what you saw when you first were working in the industry? Is that why that narrative is sold?
I think on the very top of it, it's like a $60 billion industry. I can't remember if that's global or just in America, but it's huge.
Massive. And
the people at the top know this. In fact, there was a really interesting interview with the marketing director of Weight Watchers, and he admitted that their entire business is based on repeat customers. So right at the top, they know this. But at the bottom, at the personal trainer level, they're as sold into the story as the rest of us.
Yeah, it's funny because it is, it's like, the industry is built on failure, because if you fail, you'll keep coming back, because we're also told it's our fault. So it's not the industry's fault. So you're not going to quit the industry, but you're like, well, I'm doing something wrong, so I can fix this.
Exactly. If an industry was an evil genius with like a mwa ha ha ha, it would be this. It's
definitely.
If you think about it, it's genius. Unfortunately, I've got morals though, so I choose
not
to be a part of it anymore.
We stan a queen with morals. I was saying to Rivki actually when we were prepping for this that one thing that really bums me out when you like break it down how the fitness and diet industry are entangled is that before and after photos are the most eye-catching thing you can do. They're the quickest way that someone will tap on something. I can't even help it sometimes when I see them in my Explore. I'm like, oh, is that the same I can't help but look. And it annoys me so much that PTs take the credit for that, which is what someone's essentially doing on their own at home, not I made this client squat 20 kilos more than they were doing last week. I made this client have more stamina. This client decided to give up running because they were being more intuitive and doing this. Like, it so annoys me that that is the eye-catching social media thing. You can't take credit for that. That person ate less. That's not yours. Back off.
Exactly. It's hilarious. Obviously, I'm part of like a bunch of coaching groups on Facebook. And in fact, it was only yesterday that one of them wrote on there, my client refuses to take before and after pictures. How am I going to show that it's working?
What's working?
And I'm like, oh my God. You are clearly demonstrating that you don't care about your client's health. You just want the before and after photos.
That's so crazy. When I signed up with my PT, I wouldn't let him do before measurements. And no. I just don't really care. And it took it like, bless him, he was like, are you sure? He was like, I don't ever have to show you. And I was like, no, I don't care. Yeah. And so we've never done it, but we've trained together for like 2 years. And it's just a marker that I keep showing up. I keep doing it. That's it. That's
exactly.
All I need.
And if you can do more than you could last time, then it's working.
That's what we base it on.
My PT doesn't have social media, which is incredible. And he gave me my best compliment ever. Sorry, I'm going to brag it. I'm going to say it. I've been waiting for a podcast to say this. we worked out together for the first time after lockdown a few weeks ago. And he said, you are my only client who has maintained her strength. And I was yes!
Nice.
That's good.
But yeah.
Bringing it back to the it, because me and George, without Hayley, we basically will waffle. And I'm sure Hayley's going to listen to this and be like, what happens when I leave those two?
What the hell, guys?
I left you notes. Why doesn't it work?
Because when you do the experiments in the lab, so when you do the eat less, move more thing, which is perfectly fine physics, like the physics works, you can't argue with that. But the physics forgets that we're people. And actually, if we eat less and move more, we're going to get hungry, or our bodies are going to make us not move as much, or they're going to make us blink more, or it's going to make us want sex less, or it's going to make us not be able to control our temperature as much. Our body is much better than physics at finding a way to either force us to eat more calories or stop us expending as many. Mm-hmm. So it always keeps us in that sort of status quo, that like set point weight that our body feels really comfortable about. Because as soon as we start losing body fat, our body fat is like our fail safe for if there's a famine. Because essentially we're still cavemen. We're cavemen with smartphones, but we're still cavemen. As soon as we start losing body fat, our bodies are convinced that we're in famine and we're going to die at any second. So it will do whatever it can to stop us losing fat. And we're told that that's our willpower, that we're just not motivated enough and you're just lacking willpower, or you're just addicted to sugar. You're not. Your body's trying to keep you alive, and we shout at it for it. We force it to do something that's completely against our evolution. Mm-hmm. It's like forcing ourselves to, I don't know, not have sex for the whole of our lives. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's so completely unnatural to us that, our body does everything it can.
It's so funny that obviously years ago, fatness was a sign of wealth and health and like the fact that you could eat well. And then we became these super like self-conscious narcissistic beings that we are. And we realized that maybe there's another way. And now it's like before, if you were had been in the sun more and you were slimmer, that was like, oh, you'd been working in a field and you didn't have much food. And now it's like, oh no, you've been on holiday to Barbados in the winter and you've got a really good diet.
You've just done
and
your
PT
bikini plan.
it's crazy. I remember something my PT said as well, like you and him would get on very well actually. He said, like I was saying when I first started working out with him, please, I don't really want to be doing cardio with you, I want to be doing weights and stuff. If I want to do cardio, I'll do that on my own. And he was like, when we were talking about diet and stuff, he was like, a common mistake people think is they come to me for cardio for weight loss, not realizing that with cardio you'll be hungry a lot quicker than weight, and you'll probably eat more than you would have anyway. And then before you know it, if you're coming to a PT for weight loss, you haven't done it, but you're beating yourself up and you're telling yourself you just need to do more cardio, and the cycle of hatred of exercise starts.
And again, back to the whole caveman thing, the only time that we used to run really when we were cavemen is when we were running away from something, and that causes bunches of stress, and that's not good for weight loss either.
I am definitely a caveman. That is the only time I would choose to run, is if I was running away from something.
Especially as
me
women.
From my problems.
Yeah. Especially as women, because we didn't have to do the whole like chasing down antelope thing.
Yeah.
We left that to the dudes. Our jobs were totally different. And so, we ran when there were woolly mammoths or whatever.
And there was danger. Oh my God. I love the caveman analogy.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So as you mentioned, you started as a more traditional trainer. So what is your approach now if it's not the traditional that we've just talked about?
So the most important thing that I think people need to do, first of all, is forget everything that you think you know about diet and nutrition and diet and fitness, because it's all wrong. It works for a certain type of person, but for the vast majority of us, we're not going to diet and gym for the rest of our lives. People need to bear in mind that going to the gym makes you really good at the gym. Like additional fitness can be a side effect of that, but to become fit, you don't need to go to the gym. All you need to do is move. You can do that at the gym. I find it dull, to be honest. I lift some weights because I find that quite interesting. But apart from that, if I never step foot in a gym in the rest of my life, I'd be happy. Just as fit, but I'd be happy. But I also try really hard to teach people to stop punishing themselves and to learn how to have fun again and to learn how to respect themselves again. Because I was shouting at my dad recently because he was shouting at my dog for not sitting down or whatever it was that he was doing. And I was like, Dad, if you come from like a place of negativity and thinking that the dog's a little shit, then he's never going to do what you ask and he's going to be really scared of you. If you come from a place of respect and love and no, dog, this is what we do because this is good for all of us, then they're going to do it. And, you know, it's the same with people as well. If you're looking at yourself in the mirror every day, hating what you look like, you're never going to show yourself enough respect to eat well or to move your body well or to just buy yourself clothes that fit. So learn how to respect yourself and remember that life is for massively having fun and not chaining yourself to a treadmill. But I'm a huge believer in things like intuitive eating as well. I think that if we can learn to eat in the way that our bodies ask us to, then that puts us head and shoulders above all of the diets in the world. Because, yeah, science can create the best diet, but only your body knows what it is that you really want. And we've forgotten how to listen to it because we're so involved with putting things into apps and counting steps and everything has to be numbers. And if you haven't hit the right number, and not enough people realise that these numbers have just been made up by someone. 10,000 steps isn't the magic number of steps for health. Some dude just went, oh yeah, 10,000, people remember that. That's literally it. Like 5 fruit and veg a day. Actually, it probably should be somewhere closer to 9 for some people, 2 for others, but 5 was nice and easy and it fit in with our advertising, so they just went with it.
Oh, I love that. It's like intuitive exercise, essentially, what you're saying.
Exactly.
Like, the amount of people who will exercise to lose weight end up hating exercise because they align it with weight loss, so the day they don't work out, they berate themselves for it, in the gym miserable to lose weight.
Totally.
Rivki and I have something we spoke about. We broke out that cycle and I was like, actually, I don't want to run, but I do really enjoy boxing and weightlifting and cycling. So today, I'm trying not to feel guilty because I was meant to work out with a friend, but I'm fucking knackered. I've worked out every day this week. And you know what? I had to wax my fanny. So I did that instead, just so we all know. So yeah, intuitive exercise.
The classic George overshare.
Just mention my fanny.
She tries to get it into every single episode that we do.
And I'm very glad that it's smooth now.
Here.
So was the watershed moment those parents in the gym saying that their kids weren't exercising, or did it come later? Can you really pinpoint a moment where you just looked around and you went, I want to do this anymore?
Do you know what? That was the beginning of it. And yeah, it was definitely watching the kids and chatting to the parents. But then I closed my gym because the landlord sold the building. So I was sat at home trying to get a business, like a personal trainer business, going online while I was looking for another studio. And my thing's always been about fun. So I'm sat there trying to write these online programs for people, trying to get as much fun into a workout as I possibly could for people that hated working out. And then it just hit me, like, what the hell am I doing? Why do they have to go to the gym? Why do they have to work out at all? And that led me down a path of thinking, well, if walking a dog is the same as walking on a treadmill, then surely picking up your, you know, 40 kilogram child is the same as picking up a 40 kilogram dumbbell. And plus, it's probably more functional for you. So yeah, that was definitely a watershed moment. And I felt like I was losing myself because the more people that I said 12,000 calories a day, work out 2 to 3 times a week, because that's standard advice, the more and more people that I was giving that to, it was just grating my soul. And eventually I just went, nah, like, I can't morally do this to myself anymore. So yeah, closed everything down, stopped, got a job as a cleaner, I think, for a month. Well, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then realised that actually I can still do this, but in a way that feels good. And hopefully in a way that feels good to other people as well.
Definitely. And makes sense. When you say it, when you talk about our evolution from cavemen and what exercise is for, and talking even about parents would rather their children were exercising, so they don't see the running around as exercise. I say this to my friends who've maybe just had kids and they're like, I need to get back in the gym. I'm like, you're picking up your baby every day, you're carrying it upstairs, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're cleaning this, you're doing that, you're still moving your body. My friends who've got dogs who don't go to the gym, I'm like, you're running around after your dog and doing stuff. Why do we not see that these things count as moving our body and exercise? And if that's something you want to do, you're already doing it.
Exactly.
You don't need to be having a gym contract.
Yeah.
If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't.
Do you feel like lockdowns almost helped with that attitude as well? Because gyms disappeared and we all had to think of different things to do. Or do you think it's made it worse?
It's been really interesting to see, because there's so many people that I know that used to go to gyms all the time. And like, obviously I'm part of groups that are full of gym bunnies and really hardcore gym goers. And all of them that are like, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm so unfit because I've not moved in 2 months. And I'm like, why haven't you? Just because you don't have the, you know, specific bit of equipment, it doesn't stop you from doing a single thing. I challenge anybody to give me a single exercise that has to be done in the gym that you couldn't do anywhere else. Ooh, oh, I've said that now out loud, haven't I?
Yeah. I'm going to come for it. Yeah, no, that's totally true. Rivki and I, we both are quite avid gym goers, as I've mentioned. And in lockdown, definitely, I just was like, right, well, instead of spin class, I'm going to buy a bike. So I bought a really cheap third-hand bike, and I would cycle down to the canal and back every day, which was only like 5 miles, but it was enough. There are hills, you know, I'm telling you, it was enough. Then I was doing like HIIT workouts in my living room, trying to walk a bit more. I've got weights in my garage, and I was a bit like, I'm ready for if lockdown carries on for, like, I panicked at first. I did that. I panicked. I was like WhatsApping friends. We need to somehow break the rules and work out together in a field. How are we going to do it? And then I was like, oh, what the hell? Yeah. I can still, okay, I like spin. I can do spin. I like circuits. I can still do a circuit style class in my living room. I can still do weights in my garage. I've maintained my strength. There was no, you know, drama.
Yeah, take yourself down to a kid's playground, have a go on that for 20 minutes, get on all the apparatus, and I swear to God, it's the same as doing a circuits workout. But all the parents sat watching their kids on the playground, chatting about how they need to go to a gym. I'm like, dude, just go and play with your kids.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Get on the climbing frame.
No, because one of my biggest dreams is an adult playground where it's adult-sized stuff, monkey bars, like
slides.
Seesaw swing. Yeah, hell all of these things, yes. Like you say, you're on a swing, you're using your core and your legs to propel yourself. You're on a seesaw, you're using your... Yes, okay, we need to talk
after
the
interview. You've spent too much time thinking about this, George, that's all I'm going to say.
When I was a nanny, genuinely, I was like, I'm on the roundabout pushing these kids around for 10 minutes. My arm is knackered, I'm worked out, I'm hench.
Totally.
Tell us about your success stories. We've read your testimonials. People love it. They love your attitude. They love you. What have you seen in terms of people's attitudes changing? Do you have any customers who may be with you before or who've completely transformed how they think about exercise?
So I obviously have had a bunch of clients that I used to teach at the gym that now do not speak to me at all. I am now like the antichrist according to them, but that's fine. Carry on doing your gym things, carry on feeling guilty, that's all good.
Yeah.
But obviously the clients that I have worked with that have had amazing results, none of them have come from weight. None of them have come from the made up definition of fitness that the fitness industry have given us. It's all things like I had a client message me the other day to say, I ate a pizza and initially I felt really guilty about eating it. But then I remembered that I was on my period and I was sad and I wanted a pizza. So all of the guilt immediately disappeared. Thank you so much. And it's things like that that makes me really happy. And it's all the stories of parents that are now playing with their kids and their kids are really enjoying having their parents actively, you know, participate in the activity, and dogs are getting walked more and people are just seem lighter and happier, because once you take away all of the crap, then there's not as much to worry about in life anymore. And stress is such a massive contributor to so many of the diseases put on being obese, in inverted commas, that actually if you take a bunch of the stress out of your life, that's going to change the chances of you getting these diseases massively.
It sounds like you literally go to people, what is around you in your life that you can use to move your body a bit more? Because essentially what we're doing in the gym is moving our body a bit more. Strength, stamina, fitness comes into play, but you're literally like lifting the veil and being like, you have a dog, why are you doing this? Why are you going to the gym and walking on a stationary bit of equipment when you could be doing that, which is so revolutionary.
It's a really nice thing that once you completely take away all of like the really strict rules of fitness, then it opens up to so many things, and it means that the Anti-Fitness Project is going to just keep evolving forever. Like, there's no end point to it. I'm never going to get to the point where I'm like, right, this is the thing that I'm selling and that's it. It's always going to be evolving. So a guide that I put out today, in 6 months' time, science may change, people may change, I may change. So it could be something totally different. So it's really nice. And I really enjoy getting feedback and advice from my clients, because there's a bunch of things, especially in my Facebook group, the Anti-Fitness Alliance, that they've experienced, but I have no idea about at all. Like, I've never suffered with an eating disorder, so I'm definitely not the person to give advice. But the 15 people in the group that have, they can pitch in and help everyone else. And I love that about the project.
That's awesome. There shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all approach to losing weight or being fit, because it doesn't work. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, there just isn't one. And the fitness industry, they try their hardest to make everything tailored to people. And they're not tailoring a single thing. They're just giving people different variations of the same thing. And they need to change, man.
Bullshit.
How has this changed your relationship with your body, though?
It's really interesting, because obviously I have come from an industry where if you are even the slightest bit over six-pack weight, then you're fat and therefore you know nothing and you're not a very good trainer. So I used to be that person that, although I've never had a six pack, I've come pretty damn close. I've been really lean before, and it was damn hard work and I didn't enjoy it. And the relationship now has come to, like, I've just been in Australia for the last 6 months, sat down eating crisps in the honeymoon period of a new relationship. And so clearly I've put on body fat because I haven't moved and I've eaten loads. And the first thing that happened when I walked through the door was my dad said, "You've put on weight." And for the first time ever, I could say, "Do you know what? Yeah, I have. And I had so much fun doing it. Like, yes. I wouldn't change a single gram of this body weight because I've earned it. Like, it's come from a really, really amazing place." And yeah, I think for the first time in my life, I can say that.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Now I just need to buy some new jeans.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a bit of shopping, eh, Ricky?
It helps the industry.
So she is not here, but Hayley probably would be very upset if I didn't intro this next segment with her amazing new branding. We have, from Dom, Just the Tips.
Oh, I really hope there's a logo for that as well.
George is trying to write a jingle for it.
I love it. So. Okay, so my tips are, for firstly, remove all guilt around food and exercise and just chill out. So remove it all. Have fun again. Secondly, think of all the ways that you can move without any form of exercise. So remove exercise from your head. Think about all the different ways during your day that you can move, and move joyfully. Stop paying attention to your hunger and fullness. So don't eat because a clock tells you or because your habits tell you. Really learn to listen to your body again. So delete all of your apps, your MyFitnessPal, your trackers. Delete all of those things. Listen to your body. I think everyone should do some work on their mindset and their belief systems. Because if you know where you're coming from, then you know where your, quote, problems lie. Stop being kind to your body again. Stop hating on it. Be kind. Say something really kind to yourself every day. And to stop pseudo-dieting. So by that, I mean stop subconsciously counting calories or buying low-fat things, because low-fat things taste gross, mostly.
True.
Reducing carbs when you don't have to. So take all of that out of your head and ask your body what it wants to eat. And the last one is stop the if-then thinking. So stop the, if I was thinner, then I'd do this. Just go and live your life. Because just by living your life, you're going to be burning more calories than you would waiting for it anyway.
Oh my God. I love that. I love those tips. And guys, they will be going up on the Fat Chat community, where Dom is one of our amazing admins. And also, you can find Dom in other places as well. Can people find you and employ you remotely? Because Rivki and I get so many questions from people saying, how do I find a PT or someone that I can talk about workouts with that won't always go on about my weight?
Now I don't work in a gym anymore. I do miss writing the odd workout. So yeah, I absolutely still do online training for people, but obviously with no weight direction to it at all. The word weight won't even come up. So you can find me on the Facebooks, the Anti-Fitness Project, or I've got a really good community group, the Anti-Fitness Alliance, or I am on Insta every now and again as well, at the Anti-Fitness Project.
Amazing. Perfect. I mean, you have been such a dream guest, our first ever guest, and it couldn't have been nicer, better.
It was like, so interesting.
Your views align with ours.
I've really enjoyed chatting to you guys. It's been cool.
Thank you so much for coming on. And of course, we will be linking all of Dom's socials on ours as well. So if you didn't catch anything there, don't forget to head on over to @FatChatPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And of course, as we have said, and we'll say it again, the Fat Chat community on Facebook, a thriving, amazing group. And you can chat to her in there. You can ask her some questions in there. I feel like pumped and empowered, and I feel like I need a dog to go and walk now or something like that. Like,
George, don't kidnap a dog.
I mean, why not? I'll walk the cat. I'll walk Robbie.
Having said that, can you hear that? My dog is currently scraping up my door now, asking to come in. So yeah,
to be like, move me, move me, walk me. So that is all for this week, guys. And don't forget, there will be new podcasts out every Tuesday. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast. And if you're listening to us on Apple, don't forget to subscribe and give us a cheeky 5-star rating as well.
See you next Tuesday.